This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, September 6th, 2016, episode 86. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Back again by popular demand, 8-bit Brian Aldridge. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing? This is retro week again. So if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or if you want to go to biteoftech.com, you're more than welcome to check out my blog and check out our website. We've got infectionpodcast.com, lots of places to find us on there. As far as we got our Discord, we got our Steam group, also a contact form if you need to send us something. If you have a tip, something that you want to let us know that's happening throughout the week, you're more than welcome to let us know because that helps with the show.
Yes. So. I was wondering what I could do with my camera in real time to make it distorted, but then I realized it would only end poorly. Like it would crash the profile or I'd lose the camera. I'd have to restart. So I don't know. I could have put some saran wrap over it and it would have just like looked like a kaleidoscope or who knows. So welcome everybody. We had an interesting week. Some big ARK news, which to be honest, Brian, you were pretty spot on about, and I think collectively we were pretty close. Some big stuff.
I mean, roughly, yeah.
I mean,
roughly very close.
For the amount, for what we had to work with, which was a singular image of something, I think we were pretty on the ball. So I'm happy with that. Of course, PAX West is going on. I haven't seen anything crazy survival-wise from PAX West. Daybreak is there. ARK is there with their crazy, like, 25 or 30 foot dinosaur thing that they have. I don't know how they transport that. Oh, they have two of them now?
Yeah, so they have the new thing that we predicted last week right next to the
God, Rex. That's got to be hundreds and hundreds. I mean, that thing went from PAX East to PAX West, and that's only shipping on the ground. That's got to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
They probably have a truck, like some U-Haul that they hired somebody to just drive over.
That's expensive. That's an expensive trip from Seattle to Boston, and I'm sure they're going to be back in Boston and where's the other one? Austin, Texas, or something like that. The other PAX. Yeah. So stuff going on with PAX West. PAX is kind of a double edged sword. It's great if you're there, but if you're not there, it's pretty much a week of nothingness.
For the people that are watching game development, it's just like a number of these really large video game things.
Yeah.
It's like a week of just
it's a PR week. So you know, there was of course the big ARK announcement, but that was kind of pre that was going to be happening again. That wasn't a PAX exclusive thing. They were doing that update, and you know, if they
they just timed it with PAX.
They timed it with PAX.
They wanted to have that new thing there, and they didn't, you know, so they needed to announce it right before the actual showing.
Exactly.
Also would have ruined the surprise.
Yep. So we've got some H1Z1 stuff as well. They are at PAX. We're coming very close to the Invitational. If I pull up my calendar, I believe it is the 1st and 2nd of October is when the Invitational is happening at TwitchCon. So
3.5 weeks.
We're a few weeks away from that. Of course, maps are on test servers now and a bunch of other stuff. So
we'll be talking about that a little bit because we did do that for Game of the Week.
Yeah,
this week, actually,
our next Game of the Week. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be we're doing Team Fortress 2 this Friday night, which is a free-to-play game, which I think if you have a PC, you've played at some point.
You probably can run it, too.
Oh, you can definitely run it. But you've probably played this. This is like the most popular free-to-play game, I think, on Steam,
and it is a lot of fun.
We'll find a good game mode and hop around on some. We'll raid some servers, and do all the bunch of fun stuff with that. So Friday night, 9:30 Eastern. That'll be on our our Discord channel. You can go to the website. It's infectionpodcast.com to join our Discord, and we'll have updates and you know all that fun stuff throughout the week. So Team Fortress 2, 9:30 Friday night. We'll I'm gonna try to be here because that's a great game of the week. So other than that, what's going on with you, Brian?
Not too much this week. We've been playing a lot of Ark. I guess we'll talk about that a little bit.
So I'm gonna let you run with this. Actually, we have a video. Are we playing this video?
Yeah. So if you want to play, this is okay. So they had the timer, the countdown going on throughout the 3 days
on their Twitch stream.
Yeah, on the Twitch stream, they had just a picture that we went through and were talking about last week, saying, you know, what is this? What's it mean? And you know, we predicted dragons and you know that you could ride and whatever else. We came up with a couple of other things. So right when the timer hit zero, they played this video. So here you go. This is what opened it up.
Honestly, you could have told me that was a completely separate game, and I would have believed you until the end. So that is Ark Scorched Earth. And this is the first paid DLC.
So it's $19.99. I think it, even in the pound, it's $19.99.
Okay.
Which is not the better deal.
Which is a much better. Actually, you could change your Steam account to
buy it.
Yeah.
Now we know what to do with those donations that come in.
Yeah, buy each. Buy it in the PayPal. Pound. We need to buy it in the pound.
Save them up for buying things over there.
Exactly. So got this new game mode, Ark Scorched Earth. Brian's got his opinion of it. I've got mine. Do you want to show these screenshots and then we can
I pulled those out just to kind of go through.
All right, so let's go one by one and we'll see what we have here.
All right, so this is the new dragon. That is a smaller, so I assume if you get an egg of a dragon, then raise it.
Yeah, that looks like a hatched.
That's a more recently hatched one. So that's when they're flying around the world, they're much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the initial. You can get the eggs, you can bring them back, and raise a dragon, which that's one of the stages. For this next one, these are the pretty much rock golems. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what they call them, but it's a golem that you can ride on the back of. They're very big. You'll find them around the environment where they look like a just a rock sitting there on the ground. And when you walk up too close, they'll stand up and start attacking you. So you can be running around the desert and not know when you're going to run into one of these.
So
and you'll have them camp next to your base, and you have to lead them away to, so they don't come.
So it's
and destroy
kind of a
everything.
Wild predator, almost.
Yes. All right. Yeah, and yeah, they will kill you. The next one are some of the new kind of like pets. Like this is similar to the monkey.
That one on the shoulder is awesome.
Yeah, and so what you can do is you tame them. They're very easy to tame. You know, it takes 3 minutes. You keep them on your shoulder, and they will alert you about 3 minutes before a storm comes in, because there's much more extreme weather in this game. And so when a storm's coming in, they'll start making some noise on your shoulder, and you know you need to go find shelter or get underground.
And that's a cool mechanic, because that's actually like a real thing. Like animals will detect it.
Will sense it, and so yeah, they implemented that.
It's the pressure change that the animals are very sensitive to.
And you can put a hatch, just like the monkey, you can see they put the head scarf on them and everything.
Yeah.
These next ones are kind of like their version of a camel. The things on their back actually retain water. And so you'll take this, it's somewhat of a pack animal. You can gather berries similar to what a trike would do. And you can take it around and just keep it as a water source while you're going through the desert. So it'll hold 750 worth of water, which is a decent amount. So yeah, you just have a group of them. And that way when you're out in the middle of the desert and you're all thirsty, you just come up to these and you can either fill up your canteens. Canteens aren't nearly as good in this because even the real canteens will leak water, like sand gets in or something.
Interesting.
But they leak. And then the ones that are the leather ones actually leak almost instantly. So this is a good thing to have around. The next one I just wanted to show, this is more of the actual adult flying dragon.
Okay.
So you can see that. That's just a group of them. There's three different types. There is the a fire dragon. There is one that is kind of like an acid. It spits out a green corrosive liquid. And then there's an electric one. So it'll shoot out lightning. So you tame one of the three types, and then that'll be your attack that you can do. And it'll shoot it from the ground. So you can attack things that are on the ground, either with fire, goo or with electricity. This next one is a mount. They're actually pretty powerful. It's kind of like a praying mantis.
Yeah.
And they are a passive tame. So you have to kill, I don't know if I have a picture of them here, but there's like a, you know, like a, the dune worms or mm-hmm. tremors. They're worms like that you get the horns from those, and then you do a passive tame of these with those horns. So they're really tough. One unique thing about these is that in their hands, they actually can hold a tool.
Oh.
So you can give them either, let's say, a torch, or if you want to give them a tool, like, it will help you gather. I we haven't done it yet because I haven't even found one of these. But yeah, they're the smartest creature in Ark, and they have the ability to hold a tool and do something with it. So
even
that'll be an interesting thing to find.
Even the torch itself is cool.
Yeah, so you can have it to where you're running kind of through the desert at night and you got a torch going.
Yeah, constant light source, and you can even battle.
Yeah, and you can still, and you're not having to have it in your character's hands at the time. So
now, is this guy holding a flamethrower in the background, it looks like? It appears some type of flamethrower with, you can see the gas lit, some type of
Yes, I think so.
Okay, cool.
I haven't had one of those, but yeah. But if you look, I think that's from the dragon shooting flames.
Oh, okay.
They do have some sort of, and I'm thinking it's a flamethrower,
but does look
I'm
like
not sure what that piece is.
It looks like there's gas coming out of it. Either way, it looks some type of fire effect going on.
Yeah,
the,
I think that may be it. I haven't gotten one of those yet, but that might be what it is. And that's kind of like an arena thing that is out that you could go to, and you can see people on the side if you wanted to have, you know, battles with people as a fun clan versus clan, tribe versus tribe type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big underground system. So this system has a big, huge, it's just a giant cave system. One thing to take note in this picture is that there's a whip
Yes.
So the whip is used for gathering. Also, you can steal weapons out of people's hands with it.
Really?
Kind of like Indiana Jones style. So you whip the weapon out of their hands, and then if you whip again, you can actually pick it up and put it in your inventory. We tested this. It does not work with the new sword that they have in here. But, you know, axes and things like that, you can whip it out of their hands. You know, we've been just using it for fun. It will do some damage as well.
Cool.
But you can see there's a big cave system. If you look in the background of that picture, you see that giant skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you didn't really see in the regular Ark. I think they're calling it Ark Prime.
Okay.
You didn't really see just things around like that. You saw rocks.
Yeah, this, but
you didn't really
like,
see anything that was unique.
Yeah, this would be like a, you know, a deceased dinosaur.
Yeah, and so those are kind of spread out, and there's some gigantic ones. I mean, there's just ones that you can walk through the rib cages, ride through the rib cages.
That's pretty cool.
This next one is just showing another dragon with a view of the, you know, the arena that's there.
Yeah.
What's up? Some buildings to the left.
What's going on to the left there? Is that some type of town or city?
Yeah, so that's there are ruins, kind of like what's in the center here. Mm-hmm. So you'll find old abandoned buildings and things like that under, you know, a bunch of things in the underground. So they took a, I don't know if the center was kind of from this, cause they've been working on this for a while or they started doing this, but I don't know how long they've had this in development. So, but there are ruins throughout. And then the bases, I think I'll be able to show you. Yeah. I should be able to show you here in a couple how extensive you can make the base building be. So gotcha. The next one. Let's see. This is the boomerang.
Yep.
So the boomerang is kind of a ranged weapon. I'm not sure if it knocks things out or if it just kills them.
In the video,
I've thrown the things and I've never knocked them out.
In the trailer, they showed it knocking a pretty big dinosaur out, which I didn't seem accurate. Because
it must have been pretty close at that point, because I've tried it and it takes quite a number of throws.
Okay.
But you know, it'll throw it and you'll see it'll come back. It's a pretty cool effect. So that's the boomerang. They're pretty cheap to make.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at that one, that looks like a spear. That one, if you look at the person to the left there,
yes.
I think that was the one you were looking at. Doesn't that look similar?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, the spear does look different. The next one is, this is called the Manticore. So this is the boss of this map.
Okay.
So this is kind of your goal, is to be able to defeat the Manticore. And so I don't know what they're going to do with them beyond that. We're nowhere near getting to that point, but that is it's a giant manticore. Mythological. One thing about, and to take note of this expansion that's different than the previous one, is the previous maps were all based on extinct dinosaurs for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have anything that was truly mythological.
Yeah, some fantasy stuff.
Yeah, so here they in this map they took more liberty and they put mythological creatures in there,
which is cool.
So yeah, so this is new. They have flamethrowers. Yeah, JD is saying they have flamethrowers, chainsaws.
The chainsaw was totally like Gears of War style, like you're just ripping through the center of some something or someone.
Yep. So in this next one, you can see some of the underground system.
Yep.
Looks very nice. They did a really good job with the lighting. When you go in there, like you see those rays of light going through and things are glowing and it's just, and there's things to actually go in and explore. So that's one thing for people like to do that. We're looking forward to the next one kind of shows you what you can do with the base building system. So if you look at this, this is all man-made materials. So this is, this is actual stuff that you can build.
This is a player base right here, sir?
Yes.
Really?
If you look, it's the gigantic, and I don't know how much they may have edited it. I mean, everything is accurate, looking at it. They have the giant in the lower left, the giant dinosaur gate.
Okay.
Yep. They now have an adobe-style building, which is what you're seeing down there.
Yep.
And I think there's more, what they did to make them look unique here is they actually colored them. So you can paint your things so they have a tint to it.
Yeah, so they just kind of gave it like a speckle of paint on some of them, it looks like.
Yep, and so they kind of alternated the color a little bit. And then, like the thing to the right, like that's actually, you have the ability to do that in the base building system. It's a very, like a lot of people don't push the base building system in this, but you can do some things that look really cool. And this is all accurate. I mean, this is what you can build it on this map, and that's what the map looks like. Like if you look in the background, the variation and in the type of rock and sand and all that, like that's what this looks like.
Interesting.
So it looks pretty cool. So, I mean, this is a screenshot and it looks like something that they designed beforehand.
Yeah.
The next one is a bug in there that this is actually the big sand beast. Like if you look, he's coming out of the ground.
Yep.
And you, those are the ones you get the horns of those, and you're able to tame those one creatures that you can ride. But yeah, this is one that's really difficult. You cannot tame these, but they, you know, these things are very, very difficult to kill, and they'll just come out of the ground when you're walking by. So something to keep in mind. They have a lot of those little things hidden through the map. So that's pretty much, yeah, that's the screenshots there.
Okay.
I personally think they did a really good job of designing this. I like, you know, you look at the center and you see, oh man, this looks really good. You see the newer things that they put in with Ark, like with the swamp, like mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah.
You look at the snow biome, very well done. But I think as you go through, some of the old stuff, like they haven't really touched it too much, just with the trees and everything else. The redwood's done beautifully. And so this is kind of showing that as they've gotten better at production, you know, this is kind of the end result. Now, I know you have an opinion on how they released this.
Yeah. So this is coming from somebody that likes Ark, is a fan of Ark, but is not like a, but like I'm not hardcore with Ark. I was for the short amount of time that we played it. Oh, not, shouldn't say short amount of time, for the, you know, what did we play it for, like 4 weeks straight that we played it really, really hardcore? So for that amount of time, it was good, and I really enjoyed it. Now, the issue I have is that Ark Survival Evolved, right now, actually, this is, I didn't even realize this, it's 40% off. So if you can get it for $17.99 right now. I don't know when this goes. This ends in 41 hours. So, you can get it for 40% off, but Ark is,
if you don't have it already.
I mean, 40% off is probably as lowest as you're going to get it. My issue comes to Ark is normally a $29.99 title. Ark, that's Ark. That is the center expansion. And that is the Primitive Plus total conversion. The center and Primitive Plus are both free DLCs. And now this new Ark Scorched Earth, which is, it's a brand new map, brand new dinosaurs or creatures, because now they're not really all dinosaurs now, brand new creatures, brand new weapons, all this new stuff, and it's $20 DLC. And the issue I have with this is the price of the DLC in ratio to the price of the game, in my opinion, is just way too high. With a game like Call of Duty or Battlefield, or really any other $60 title, $20 DLC is in ratio to the price of the game. It's a $60 title, has a $20 add-on, or $20 DLC that does whatever. It's in ratio to the price of the game. I don't understand how a $30 title can have $20 DLC. And I know there's other games that have that. For example, Civilization has... you can spend $200 on Civ DLC to get all the different expansions and play as all the different groups of people. I have an issue with $20 DLC with a $30 game.
Do you think they're aiming at making a cheap base game that then has these expansions, like permanently, just at some point when they consider Ark itself done, which for all intents and purposes, we could consider it done now.
Is it still, is it out of alpha?
No, it's not. It's not. Okay. So that's the thing, is I look at it and they just... The game is good enough to be done.
Correct.
Yeah. But I don't, as far as content, but I think that they just want to keep growing it. Like, I think they want it to, you know, they could say it's out of alpha, this is a fully released game, but I think they want to keep adding to it. And I think part of this is obtaining more funds to be able to keep developing the game, because you can only develop the game for so long with that big of a team and the amount of work that they put into this on the base game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I agree.
If they really wanted to, they could say this is done, you know, it's out of alpha. They could say it's in beta. They could say it's in, but the thing is, I think they just want to keep be able to keep working on it. I think they want to be able to say, hey, you know, this is still being worked on. This is a growing.
Yeah. I mean, you could say game. That Ark has as many issues. If you were to say Ark is released today, it would have as many issues as H1Z1 King of the Kill has that's coming out of Alpha in, what is that? It's December 20th, 14 days from now. So I don't know. Does the DLC look great? Yes. Would I purchase now, the DLC?
Pimazai, I think it's pronounced that way, in chat, he's saying that, you know, it's still unoptimized.
Which is true.
And this one, I think, runs very well. Like, we saw that with the center and Primitive Plus, the thing loaded incredibly slow. Took forever to load. And I don't know. We think that was Primitive Plus. The center is going to be getting just a gigantic update here this week. So I'm thinking that maybe they'll be correcting some of that. They'll be adding more to the map. But I think that they're constantly working on making it more optimized. I mean, for me, it runs very well on my... this new map runs very well.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't have glitches. Frame rates are good. So I don't know how much more you can expect with this many items in this type of a very... deep environment. Like, how optimized can you get it?
Well,
they're dealing with a lot in very high resolution.
Yeah, and again, I'm a fan of Ark. I think it's a great game. It's just the DLC is too rich for my blood. That's what it comes down to for me. I can understand. I'm gonna name drop specifically Falcon. He plays this game all of the time. It would make perfect sense for him to go out and buy this DLC because he's constantly playing the game, and this just kind of elevates what he can do in the game. And I'm sure he's already purchased it. You would know, but
yeah, we've been playing.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's already purchased that. But he plays this game all the time. So for him, I think this is or anybody, for a matter of fact, that plays Ark on a regular basis. For me,
see, Laura even got it. She likes, you know, seeing new things.
And yeah.
She saw me playing. She's like, I want to get it. So I was like, all right, go
ahead. And another reason, and this is, I mean, I don't know. You could take this for what you want. Another reason I didn't get it is because Brian got this. And, you know.
Yeah, we alternate.
For example, exactly.
We go broke buying every game.
Well, that's Brian plays Ark way more than I do. Brian is our Ark specialist. So it made more sense. He bought this. So, you know, what was I gonna throw into the mix? You know, I don't pretend to be some, you know, Ark aficionado here, and I'm not. It's just the game is fun, but it's not my perfect cup of tea. So, if you are a consistent Ark player, if you played Ark for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, I mean, I've got almost 150 hours played in it, which is a lot of time for a game. But if you're continually playing Ark, I think this is a no brainer. But for somebody that is a casual Ark player, like I feel like a lot of the players, a lot of people that listen to the show are.
Here's one thing to keep in mind, though. So the items that you get here, you can bring back to the main island.
Correct.
If you have a couple people in your tribe that have this expansion, they can play and they can go get all these new dinosaurs and equipment, and they actually can bring it back to to the island.
Yeah.
So if you get a dragon, if you get, you know, whatever it is that you want to bring back, it's a one-way ticket though. So you can they connected the servers. So our character from our main the island server can upload their character to this new Scorched Earth map. You don't bring anything, it's just your character at his level and his abilities, right? And then when you want to, you can come back and you can upload dinosaurs and gear, and it'll actually bring it back to the island. So you can share all those things and be able to experience at least the creatures and the things on the island without having to actually have the expansion.
Yeah. So, and again, that's just more incentive. I shouldn't say incentive because it's not really incentive. That's more... more of a reason for me personally to not feel the need to have to go out and pick up this DLC today, because for a matter of fact, this game will, I can still take advantage of the stuff that's in this game, even though I don't have, I can still take full advantage of it. So with that being said,
And this is a harder core. I mean, this is for people that maybe want a harder survival experience inside of Ark, because it is much more difficult to survive in this one. So if you're looking just for a little bit different, harder experience, this is the kind of map you'd want to get.
Yeah.
Because you get very comfortable in the, in, let's say, especially in a private server, if you're, as you know, the top dog of the map on the island, you get very comfortable. You're not worried about anything really happening to you. With this one, you're having to kind of maintain and worry about thirst and just, it's a little bit more difficult. And they don't have all the dinosaurs there. There's no Gigas. That we, you know, we got a Rex, but there's not all of the same dinosaurs. So you don't have pterodons and things like that. So it's a little bit more just changed experience. So
here's an interesting thing that Fat Broken Ugly brings up. And he says, this effectively makes Ark pay to win. Those who have dragons have a huge advantage over those who don't. And I'm not necessarily agreeing on the pay to win scale, but that is a real concern, in my opinion, that, for example...
Well, okay, so they did try to balance it, though. So
okay,
how does if you look at the dragons, they can't pick anything up. You know, they can't pick up people and carry them around. They just have the remote attack, which, and they're very difficult to maneuver.
Okay.
So it's not, you can't just stop and hover and like kind of tweak, you know, where you're aiming and hit things. They made it much more difficult to maneuver. So there is a downside to doing that. Like, you know, people, you have to keep moving and it's pretty much all swooping in attacks and it's very difficult to aim it. I don't think, I don't view it as that, like having flown one.
No, but I think that's, but I do think that that's a concern that needs to be, I mean, there does appear to be with a lot of the dinosaurs in there, an advantage. I mean, a dragon seems like, it seems like it's a, I shouldn't say OP, but it seems like it's a very powerful animal in the game. And if, you know, if it's powerful, it would be, what I'd like to see would be a group of people that have similar groups of people, one with the dragon, one without a dragon, and see how those groups progress. I have a feeling the group with the dragon would progress much rapider pace. That's not even a word, but you know, a higher
with
pace.
More rapidity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I feel like this could be.
So one thing to keep in mind, though, and people may get confused if they go look this up. So there are dragons in the game and then there's wyverns.
Okay.
Wyverns are what we're saying is the dragon, the ones that fly.
Okay.
Dragons are actually on the ground and they're more of like a walking scaly thing.
Okay.
That they're calling dragons, like, I guess like a Komodo dragon type of a thing.
Gotcha.
They walk around and they actually throw darts out of their tail and do a remote attack that way. They do not fly. So when people, you may hear people saying dragons, and if they say the word dragon, as far as I'm taming a dragon, they could mean either one, which is kind of strange. So they would call the.
So what's the thing that we're talking about? The thing that flies?
A wyvern.
Wyvern. Okay.
W-Y-V-A-E-R-N.
Wyvern. Okay. So it just seems like that is a big advantage to have if you, like, it seemed like for even just from the video, again, those videos are manipulated to, it's a trailer, so take it for what it's worth. But even in that video, I mean, that looked like it had a pretty, the wyvern shoots fire, right? I mean, that's the same thing.
Yeah, so that's the one that either does the acid spit in a way, the electricity, or fire.
That seems like that is a huge advantage to have if you have a
now. Their animal. Moths do they have moths that fly? That
yep,
you can
I saw
ride
the
now.
Moth as well.
And so those ones actually they don't have like a regular melee attack.
Okay,
they can't pick anything up, but they have kind of like a gas bomb that they'll drop on people as well. So like. They've done more of a remote type of damage because the dragon does it, the wyvern does it, and the moth does it as well.
Okay.
These are all remote attacks. So I think, you know, this is something they're trying to integrate into the game of, you know, you have these ranged weapons and you have dinosaurs that'll do a ranged attack. Not everything has to be hand to hand or dinosaur to dinosaur.
So I don't know. There hasn't been enough time for there to be, you know, I don't think there's been enough time for there to be a real discussion on if or this, you know, if this positively or negatively affects public servers.
The problem is, let's say a year, 2-3 years from now, how many of these paid expansions are there going to be? I don't want to go in here and have to pay $20 every 6 months to like, okay, this one is the desert one, you know, and then have one that's snow, and then have one that's, you know, and then the one that's free is the forest.
And that's a problem. That's a real problem with me. And that's why I think $20 DLC on a $30 game can be dangerous. Because, like you said, this, I mean, all they have to do, they're constantly introducing new types of animals into the game. Because they're not dinosaurs now, animals, you could say. So, exactly. 8 months from now, do we have just...
They have to really be careful. I mean, and I feel like they have been. You know, they've got some overall... They've proved that they have an overall way that they want this game to go. I think they've created a vision, and each of these things is implementing that vision. So, unlike... You know, I think that we've been tainted by H1Z1... In that, oh, look at this feature. Oh, look at this feature. Oh, everything doesn't work now. You know what I'm saying? I think we've gotten that. But they, over time, have proven that they implement these big dinosaurs and it doesn't break the game.
Yeah,
I mean, Gigas, you could say, break the game.
Yeah.
And those things are ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm not even talking the game break aspect. It's just the, and you made up a great point. I mean, 3 years from now, do you have $200 invested in Ark? Because it's not definitely not a $200 game. I mean, you could say what you want, but it's not a $200 game.
Now, JD brings up, he says he thinks that this is making up for the failure of Survival of the Fittest. Now, Survival of the Fittest has actually been raising in numbers. Like, they've been getting more and more people playing it.
Have they?
One thing that I've heard more now is that they're actually going to be bringing Survival of the Fittest back into the main game. This was a rumor that I've heard. That they're taking away the individual client and they're making it a part of the main game now, to where it's not a mod, but it'll be an option inside of regular Ark.
As they
that
should.
You can go into. Yeah, so it's no longer going to be. I think they were getting the numbers built up with the free one, getting people playing it, you know, and getting, you know, just having it become a thing. So I'm expecting that, and I don't know when, that they are going to be rolling that back into the main Ark game. Just as, do you want to play Survival of the Fittest? Do you want to play The Center? Do you want to play, you know, whatever it is, they'll have a list of things that you can play in there.
Which is the way to go, because nobody wants to download nobody wants to have a separate.
Yeah, but look at all the people that don't own Ark that are getting it for, you know, that are playing that for free.
Yeah.
And that's who it's going to affect, which, hey, if you don't have Ark, I mean, support the developers if you really like it that much.
Yeah. I mean, again, they're constantly
putting on sale now, so just buy it.
Ark itself is not an expensive game. A $30 title that's got all the, in my opinion, it's got a lot of longevity in it. Is perfectly fine. It's just the price of, and I sound like a broken record, but it's just the price of the DLC that I have a problem with.
I would rather have them keep Ark at $20 and then put the DLCs at $10. Like, have it be
even 30.
If they're
going
to continue to put these out, have the DLCs be a $10 thing.
Correct.
You know, I'm fine with paying for the massive amount of work that went into this to where it could be its own game.
Yes.
Fine with paying for
that.
And
maybe that's what they should be doing, because you I mean, $20.
And just say, hey, we're going to keep rolling out some DLCs of some really cool content. We just want you guys to be aware that, you know, we're doing these for $10 a piece, but they will be so big, you know, and they're going to all be linked to your main one. You can pick which ones you want to do. But we're going to be putting these out. Like, if that's what you're doing, like, put that out there. Let people know, you know, because we don't know. Is this the only one that they're doing for $20? Like, they shouldn't be doing a bunch.
Exactly. And that's where the issue, in my opinion, starts, is how many of these DLCs are possible. You know, a $30 game with $20 DLC, that adds up very quickly. Brian, you now have $50 invested into Ark. It's almost as much as you have almost as much as a AAA title invested into this game. If they release even two more DLCs and you buy both of those, you know, you're now halfway to having two $60 titles in there. That's a real issue. So I think at this point, Wildcard needs to come out and clarify.
And just clarify.
Is this a one-time thing, or is this a going to be happening every 9 months kind of thing, or every year
What I want to know. Like, I don't. If they release another one in 6 months, I'm going to be like, man, I just don't want to keep doing this.
Exactly. You know? And eventually it will start alienating
people.
If
I knew, hey, this is something that every 6 months we're going to try to do something really cool, $10 a piece, like, sign me up. Can I do a subscription? Fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would do that. But I just want to be, I want it to be clear because I don't want to be, as you said, $100 later, be like, okay, I've got all these expansions, all these things that I have to. So one thing that we do, and this is something that we'll go a little bit into, but you know, you can bring your character back and forth, but it's like you have to copy it up and then you have to exit and then connect to the other server. I have to run different servers for each one of these. I don't want to be running 10 servers just to be able to offer our clan, you know, the full amount of what they can do inside of Ark. Yeah. I don't want to be running 10 different separate server instances to do this. Like they need to figure it out and not do it this way if they're going to do more, yeah. Because this gets unmanageable on my side. I'm not going to buy multiple servers just to be able to handle this.
Exactly. So in my perfect, and again, I don't like complaining without a solution. So my perfect world, keep Ark at a $30 or $29.99 price point and then make the DLC $10. You know, they've already gotten my money and this is adding, again, it adds a lot of stuff, but,
I mean, it is all cool. And if you enjoy playing it, like last night, a bunch of the guys said, hey, we're going to go just try to discover the west side of the map. And okay. So they put an expedition together and they all went and it was, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, get your money's worth out of it, but you know, you have to be into Ark and to really, truly appreciate it.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of the Scorched Earth discussion.
Okay. So let's go ahead and go into the patches because we'll be covering some of this stuff as we go. So 2.46 was the one that they announced. This is the one that had the Scorched Earth integration is what they're calling it. It has the cross Ark travel, which I explained. So it'll let you go cross official server transfers via supply crates and obelisk terminals. So I don't know about the supply crates. I haven't figured that out yet. I haven't tried it from there. But if you go to the obelisks, you can go to that thing that seemed to not really have a use up until now.
It's a landmark. That's all it was used
for. Yeah, it was a landmark. And so you go to this and you actually can upload your character to it. It instantly takes you to the character creation screen. Don't create another character. Exit. Connect to the other server. And then when you get the character creation screen in the lower right, it'll say, do you want to load a saved character?
Jeez, that's confusing.
They could smooth this out a lot.
Wait, I missed something then. You're having to run two servers for this?
I have to run two servers for this. That's what I'm saying. If they keep adding these, it becomes unmanageable for me.
How does that work for official servers? Are they duping official servers?
They're all running dual servers as well. For each server, they have an Ark server and they have Scorched Earth server.
That's literally doubling your costs of server fees. If you're
renting, per instance or whatever.
Yeah.
So for me, I can handle running two instances of the Ark on my server.
Correct. Wow. But I didn't realize that.
But
that's
if you're renting Ark server, which, you know, they're not just giving you full access to the server and saying go for it, you would have to then rent two sets of servers.
And it's different IPs or different ports? How do they deal with that?
Different ports.
Oh, God. What a convoluted mess.
It's just, and so that's kind of the issue of, you know, what do you do? And it's working for this, but if I had to add a third one, a fourth one, like it's going to be taking, each one's going to be taking a core just idling.
Yeah.
You know, when I get to eight, no way. So how many, that's why I want to know, how many more of these are they going to add? Because, you know, there's going to be a point where you're just going to say, you know what, we can't run all. We got to pick which ones we want to run.
Yeah.
So you can do the cross, or even if, you know, I don't know, the maps are so big, they're going to have to figure that out. That's why they're getting all the money. They can deal with that problem. So you upload it, then you go, it lets you import your character. Now you have your level character, your character on the Scorched Earth server.
Okay.
Let's say you go and then start taming things, you get things, you go back to the obelisk. You can then upload your character, you can upload dinos, and you can upload gear to that one. When you do that, you then go back to your regular server. You go to the obelisk. In there, you'll see where you can then download that gear, and then you take it back to your base.
Jeez Louise.
So that's the process for doing this. One thing they added in this patch was the new structures, which are the large ceiling dino doors. So they can do that in stone, metal, and adobe. So this is pretty much on the roof, a big gate that opens up to the top so you can easily bring flying dinosaurs in. And then they did full NVIDIA Ansel support, which is the 3D 360 like full environment screenshot that you can do. To do that, you have to, when you load Arc, it has that list of options. There's one that says load with Ansel support.
Yeah.
You have to do that. Then when you take a screenshot, you'll be able to swing around and look through the screenshot, and it'll actually be, 3D items that you can take a look at. So, that is 246.0. Then 246.1, this was September 2nd. So they fixed some issues, performance issues, server crash issues. There was an issue of people losing Ingrams when downloading a server for the cross arc travel.
Yeah. I can only imagine how that could be
the first time. Total yeah. There were the first disaster. Time there were people that, ran into issues of pretty much losing their whole character. Now imagine this is a bigger deal on official.
It's a huge deal on official
because I can't undo it. Right. Like yeah. I back up and I can, whatever. I have backups of people's profiles, everything. So if something's really messed up, or I could say, all right, I'll give you, I'll just instantly level you to 61. You're 61 now. You lost all that.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's a bigger deal when you're dealing with official servers because they have to be willing to do it, and you never know.
Wow.
So there were people that were losing total progress of their characters, which means you lose everything that you had. And just it became a big mess, or possibly everything. So that wasn't working initially. They did get that fixed, though. They fixed installation calculation bug that caused spontaneous death in some bases.
Okay.
They fixed an issue that was causing item tooltips not to appear in single player mode. The Giga was no longer harvests wood. I guess it was harvesting wood. The Wyvern, the Poison Wyvern tertiary, which is the sea ground attack, is now wing flap wind, not snarl. So I don't know that. I mean, that's the flying one. Tertiary sea ground. I don't know what that is. I assume that's the right click.
Yeah.
But there's got to be, maybe if you hit C, there's another attack I didn't even know about.
Maybe.
Diseases no longer persist across server travel. So when you're going between servers, your disease no longer goes with you. One time server PVE, the island server rollback to fix the deletion of bases around mountain, no base building areas. So people had lost a lot of things because of the setting they changed. And so they actually rolled back the official servers.
Which is rare.
They don't do that very often. I don't think often. I've ever so seen people that would have before. Lost some yeah. progress.
But there must have been enough. That shows you that enough people must have been
enough
affected.
People got deleted that it was a really big deal.
Definitely.
So 246.2 is a smaller one. They're getting everything kind of ironed out at this point. They added an additional two levels to the players and the tame dinos. So they go up to two higher levels. They optimized server dino status updating for performance gains. So whatever, I don't dino status. I guess that's what the dino was doing at this time. You can now rarely get rare mushrooms and rare flowers on scorched earth from purple plants. And this is 246.3. So it's September 4th, so 2 days ago. Because those things are very difficult. You don't come across those things anymore. And you need those to be able to tame the kangaroos. They don't, usually you would get those in the swamps. So they're adding them as a rare thing that comes up. And the sickle now harvests from seed cactus, which is one of the things in the game. The whip now has only 25% chance of disarming players, so they lowered that a little bit. Wyvern milk can no longer be put in refrigerators. So this is a milk that's kind of a cure-all. It'll cure diseases and things like that. That when you tame a wyvern, it'll be in its inventory, and I assume they produce it over time. Spiral stairs now have proper railing collisions so that you can't accidentally walk off of the edges. They fixed Battlelight disconnection issue when doing server survivor transfers. They changed the Mana Core tribute cost to require only 10 wyvern talons per type rather than 15. And that's that boss that you can call in. The antidote item can now be crafted with deathworm spikes. Alternatively, use leech blood instead of bleach blood, which I don't, because there's no leeches in the new expansion. And they fixed narcotics not working on Gigas and other possible dinos. So that was 246.3. Now they're back into those dual number ones again. So 246.33.
Well, yeah, but the difference is they're doing it now with little things instead of waiting till the end to do.
Yeah, they're not doing everything as a major one. So they're like, we're about halfway and we're only in the sixth of the month.
Yeah.
So we're wanting this to go all the way to the end of the month. Well, we got to start.
I mean, that's how they should do it. If you look at, for example, 246.1 and 246.2, 246.2 could have easily been 246.2 or 1.2 or 1.3, whatever they want to do, because it was only two things in an update. That's how they should do it, because
The next three are those types. Yes, so, but the thing is, they skip a bunch. So there's a bunch of probably internal updates that they've done that they don't even post.
Published.
Yeah. 246.33 is they fixed an issue where characters could spontaneously get knocked off of ladders when climbing. And then 246.35 fixed a server-side issue where servers could potentially lock up when using the fishing rod.
That's quite a significant...
The whole server
crashes. Yeah, that's pretty good.
The 246. Actually, the second one in this one is they fixed an issue where character could spontaneously get knocked off ladders when climbing. That's the same issue as last time, so it must not have been fixed. The 246.41 fixed an issue where certain mods would crash. So
cool.
That is the current set of updates. They are looking at three new upcoming dinos. I'm assuming are coming out with the next patch.
Okay.
Some of the stuff that they've talked about is coming out this week, like with the center. But if you look at the other link I did, it's the Kentrosaurus. And this is a new dinosaur that they're doing. It's not rideable, though. I mean, if you look at its back, I understand why. but it's tameable, and it's more of a weapon dinosaur. If you look at the lower right there, that's like a weapon. So they're saying this is more of a just a weapon type of dinosaur. You use it to kill things.
Cool.
So, and then the next one, if you look to lower down, there's another picture.
Okay.
That's a new dinosaur that's coming. And
this thing's sitting on the tree?
A flying thing that'll climb trees.
Okay. This is a really high resolution image.
Yeah. And then the next one is another dinosaur that they're adding. It's like a little bird type of thing that'll...
It looks like a bird and like a possum or something, a ferret or something.
Yeah, this is like the compies. It's like a flying version of the compies.
As if those things weren't already annoying enough, now you're going to have flying versions.
Now you're going to have flying ones. So, yeah, so this is some upcoming things. Keep an eye out for that. I think it's going to be coming out with the next patch.
Cool.
But the big center patch is coming out this week, from what I heard from the guy that actually does the map for that. So now actually September 9th. So 247 is going to be September 9th. So this is only 3 days away.
3 days. That's Friday.
So those are going to be those dinosaurs are coming in the center, the big update for the center. And then also they're doing dynamic length bridges. So you can have bridges that will span from maybe one building to another, which has been a mod before.
Yeah.
They're putting it in the actual game.
Cool.
So that's as far forward as they've kind of hinted at this one. I can't think of anything else ARC related. Do we want to start the game giveaway?
Yeah, let's start that.
Okay, well let me reset before people start going crazy, and then we'll actually have somebody. All right, raffle is reset. So for this week, for the first one, we're doing Zenbound 2.
Okay.
And this is a smaller little game, but looks like a lot of fun. And if you type !! raffle in chat, I'll put a link. I'll put a link here in chat so people can see what that is. It's a indie casual puzzle relaxing single player game.
Cool.
So it looks pretty cool. The graphics on it look really nice. It's got 100 levels or over 100 levels on it. Something fun to sit down and play.
Yeah. Now, real quick before we go any farther, I was looking at the ARC page and I noticed within the last 30 days, only 37% of the reviews are positive. It is mostly negative recently.
I think it's because it's just people that are mad about the paid expansion, personally.
Let's see. I totally disagree with the release of a DLC before the final version. I guess.
Paid DLC and early access
is a deal breaker. I guess a lot of people are upset about that. I didn't realize it was that widespread of an issue, but I could see how that can piss a lot of people off. I mean, Could you imagine the storm that would be a brewing if Daybreak released paid DLC? Like, hey guys,
if they made you pay for the game twice. Oh wait.
What? Well, they just started that, but yeah, you imagine if they released a $20 or $10 or $15 DLC add-on for that? For could you imagine if they charged for Z2?
I would pay $15 for a DirectX 11 upgrade.
No, but seriously, could you imagine like the storm that would be started if they charged for Z2? Z2 is a $20 add-on.
I would never play it again.
Exactly, but isn't that interesting?
There's a very big difference. Delivery.
There is.
You know what I'm saying?
There is, but it's the principle that's interesting.
Just like with Rust, just like with Ark, they have over-delivered. They've delivered more than you would expect originally on that game.
Correct,
right?
Correct.
Constant updates, constant things. H1Z1, on the other hand, is constantly under-delivered.
It's interesting, but it is kind of this double standard thing where, Ark as a company has been really good to its... consumers and to its players.
I think there's enough people that say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Exactly. So it's something interesting to think about. Personally, I wouldn't go to the thing and leave it a bad review because they released paid DLC, but I guess enough people are bent out of shape about it.
Look at how many other games have been released that are nowhere near, they're considered complete games that are nowhere near the quality.
Again,
of
Ark. It's not the content that's the problem. It's the principle that I think these people, and that's kind of the it's not really principle as much for me as it's price. But I think a lot of these people, based on principle, saying, this is kind of ridiculous. You're making an early access game, and now you're charging me three quarters the price of the game to get a new.
I mean,
map.
They could very easily say this is out of early access.
I think that would stop a lot of these issues. But I can see where people.
I don't think we should force them out of. I mean, all it is at this point for that game, especially, is just a title. It's not early access. The game is so feature rich.
Well, but again, feature rich, but there's also a lot of bugs. I mean, you see how many they patched that ladder bug three times this week.
But the thing is, they're constantly putting in new content. Correct,
but
every single week.
I would still say that it's still an alpha game. The way that the development,
easily have stopped it at one of those points and just said, we're not adding anything else to it. It's done.
But again,
they could.
A game out of alpha would not be doing 10 updates a week. I mean, that's totally an alpha thing, which is fine.
The only reason they maintain it is because they feel like it's not done yet. Yeah. What their vision of what's done is not.
Exactly.
Not done.
Exactly. So, of course, you can enter !! Raffle in the chat for that option. Well, also, something we haven't talked about in a while is how to... somebody messaged us this week and asked about supporting the show. And, of course, we do have the support links on our websites, infectionpodcast.com/support. And we've had this up here for a while. And there's two ways you can help us. If you buy stuff on Amazon.com in the United States, you can bookmark this link here on the website. If you just drag it up to your bar in Chrome, if you're using that, it'll set it as a bookmark. And when you buy stuff through Amazon, it'll kick back a little bit towards us. Or you can do a direct PayPal contribution. And you can do that right here on the website. It's infectionpodcast.com/support. And, of course, Brian and I appreciate that. And, support. It's like Brian bought the Scorched Earth DLC.
I bought the ARK DLC with infection money.
Yeah.
So.
With all the infection cash we're making off of our AdSense and our YouTube views. So
PHC VCK says nobody asked that. No, we actually do have people.
People do ask, and we've had people.
And I actually had Lance or Landgun. He said, I didn't, because I said, he's like, I'm looking at stuff in Amazon. I was like, you should use our link. He's like, I didn't even know about that. I'm like, we've said it.
Yeah, so we're just bringing that now up every week. So yeah, there you go. Infectionpodcast.com/support. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the episode as well. All right. Well, this week we did our H1Z1 game night. We attempted to play Z2.
And we intermittently did.
We intermittently did. I think it went better than the game you did previously, which was The Forest. It went way better. We played it for way longer than 25 minutes.
We gave up on playing with each other, though.
In Z2 or in the forest?
In Z2.
In Z2, yeah.
We were all just kind of queuing.
So this was the issue.
There was no group system on the test server. So.
Which is fine. The issue was two servers and literally hundreds of people trying to play. So, plus the game would constantly
I think each server holds up to about 140 people.
140, 150 people.
But there were over 300 people trying to play. So,
well, and the other issue was that the loading screen would constantly get locked up. So it's not like you could just sit in the queue and walk away and then come back and you'd be in a game. It would freeze. It would say joining, and it would freeze, and then you'd have to just restart and queue up again, and it would freeze, and then you would close, and you'd pretty much do that until a server was open, till you could hop in a game. Again, it's the test server. You can be critical, but whatever. It's the test server. I don't really care. Yeah. So either way, I barely got to play Z2. I think
was Friday night. This is kind of their peak.
Everybody's Friday, Saturday night, exactly. I played. I think I got in maybe 4 different games combined Friday night, and I played a few Saturday morning, or tried to play a few Saturday morning. Overall, the cities are great in the new game. I did get killed by Musty, which, I made it in the one game and it just shot dead. I was sneaking up on somebody and shot dead in the middle of the street by Musty.
Yeah, I remember hearing you say, hey, I see these two guys here.
I'm sneaking up on these two guys, and then the next thing I know, I'm dead. But it's fine. all in good fun. So the known issues, and these were some of the issues that people were running into. The first one, which I think was the most annoying bug, was dropping your bandage in the box.
Unless
of
you were aware, you could constantly run around and pick up everyone's bandages out of the starting area.
Why do people have to do that? Why do people have to be such...
He had like 90 something bandages.
I'd
going
love
in.
To use some choice words, but I won't. Why do people have to be like, such a-holes in this game? Stop picking up my damn bandages. Leave them alone. You don't need 70 bandages, Joe. Screw you. Like, I'm spawning in, and instantly they're gone, because I guess my player model spawns in and drops
beforehand,
them.
And your bandages are just sitting there on the ground.
And then I have to go and steal them from somebody else.
You're just
Again, I only grab one set. I only grab 5. I'm not grabbing 7.
And I grabbed as many as I could find.
Why?
Because they're all just sitting there. Like the
you
are
the
no longer
you
there.
Are the problem, Brian. You are the troll. You are the problem with H1Z1.
And then we had there was like an admin that was sitting there and spawning in bears
on fire, like animals that were on fire and stuff.
Yeah, rabbits, zombies.
Yeah, everything was on fire. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So the bandage drop, they knew that. And again, test server, whatever. The other issue was that it would say you may be placed in the percent sign N game, supposed to be a variable that I guess.
Something was supposed to be filled in there.
Probably had quotes around it, so it read it, the compiler read it literally. So that was another bug and again, this is from Daybreak. These are the bugs that they know exist and are going to be working.
Yeah, and it said percent N, and I don't know. It doesn't make sense. You may be placed in the what game when the game starts? Like, what's that supposed to say?
I don't know what that's supposed to say, but percent N would be some type of number.
Fifth game when the game starts. Like, I don't get what that means.
I don't know what that means either. But so another issue was the ATV in the box of Destinies didn't have keys, so you had to hotwire them. A gun may occasionally spawn in the box of Destiny, but it wouldn't spawn with ammo, so it would just randomly spawn in there.
Would that person going into the parachute have that gun?
I don't think so, because it says you won't.
Because what you have in your inventory usually carries with you. I'm wondering if
true. Who knows?
I mean, it may. Maybe you just start out with an empty AR starting out or something.
Which I guess would do you as much good as anything else, because. You have to find ammo for it. And
you
always...
land, there's probably going to be something anyways.
Exactly.
And if you find bullets, there's probably a gun there.
There's 100% of the time a bullet or guns there with bullets. So, then there are still some final lighting passes on that are not on test yet. But I guess those are done internally. They're just not on test. And then numerous optimization fixes coming to the test server. Now, issues that I think we noticed and a lot of other people noticed is there was a significant lag. I was getting at one point very, very bad desync to the point where I would be walking and I would be like literally shot back like 10 seconds. It was a significant amount. I would just imagine that was either A, somebody DDoSing them, or B, just so many people trying to hit the test.
Yeah, so many people are trying. And that's a problem with their queue system. Like, why isn't a separate server handling their queues? Like, don't have them affect the server. Like, it shouldn't be affecting the main
server. I don't know what was going on, but there was I wasn't the only one that was, and it was funny because I'd have that desync and then it would be like like 20 people would get killed by the environment. Like it would just rack, like it was just dropping people's connections. I don't know what was going on with it. But, and then I guess there was some in-game lag as well in terms of FPS. By the way, the new box of Destiny is pretty cool.
It's very big.
Yeah, it is. It's big. It's a
they've
nice
got a whole racetrack in there that cool. you can take and just, they've got 30 something ATVs.
Yeah. It's a cool area. It's definitely got, it's got life to it. At this point, it's kind of a novelty thing because, you know, everybody's racing around in the ATVs. But it does have some cool stuff in there that just add to the game.
You know what would be fun for me? And okay. I've been saying this, but, you know, like those carnival, like you shoot the targets with the guns?
Yeah.
Like treat it like that. Have it be a thing where you can't take the gun with you, you can't put it in your inventory. But when you're standing there, like you have a gun, no limit on ammo, and you can just shoot at targets.
Yeah, I could see issues where that doesn't get like dropped out of your inventory. I don't see.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's that would be it wouldn't be that simple for them. But
yeah. So other than that, there was a thread in here about discussions that people were having, and one thing that I saw a lot this week, and when I say a lot, I mean many times. I'm not just I saw it twice. Oh, I saw it all. No, I saw this many. I saw this at least 5 or 6 times. People saying that the cities were really cool. They loved the cities. They loved how dense everything was. They loved they could go into all these buildings. But outside of the cities, it was the same thing as Z1. You know, kind of half-assed.
Big open areas.
Kind of like half-assed. We're making a forest, and they just kind of throw a bunch of trees in an area, and there's not really anything. They just throw a bunch of trees in there. Personally, I was getting killed in the cities every time because, again, I didn't know where I was, what I was doing. So I didn't really have a chance to venture very far into any of the games I played. I died pretty quick in all of them. So I didn't have an opportunity to see that. But that seemed to be the big complaint was the cities are great, but the outside area is still just a lot of...
It's
not even that it was open. It was just... Instead of it being all open, they just threw a bunch of trees there. So it was still open area, but it was just trees instead of actual content. So that seemed to be the big thing that people were complaining about. Other than that, the parachute seemed really buggy. I was hitting
so
the ground.
Yeah, we were walking and we saw a parachute like just hovering in the air. And this was on the regular server.
Oh, okay.
Because we had all grouped up afterwards. We were like, we want to be able to play together. So we had gone and queued up in the 5-mans. And there were parachutes in the air, like just kind of semi-folded parachutes. Hovering in the air, just sitting there. And then we walked up underneath them. We were looking at them. And then all of a sudden, one of them just kind of dropped to the ground. Randomly. Like, it just kind of a weird, some weird issues with their parachutes, for sure.
And on the test server, the specific issue I'm talking, first of all, they got rid of, and maybe this is just because it's on the test server, everybody does not spawn at the same time. Many, many times I spawned in and there were people already on the ground. But it was the old parachute bug where... You kind of hit the ground and then you go back up in there and then you hit the ground again in your parachute. Like it's that kind of like it's I don't even know how to explain it. It's like that jump.
See, I was running into a bug that was driving me crazy I think they're changing it is when my parachute wouldn't get close to the ground, like it would pull back and like go into a slow mode.
Yes. It
was driving me nuts because then I'm like I'm hovering. And then I'm not being able to land where I wanted to
land. No, because
you're like
up in the air and you're like kind of hitting the ground. The parachutes in the current BRs, at least last time I played them, were perfectly fine. It was the new animation. They looked good. You landed on the ground. But the new ones, man, you're jumping all over the place, landing on rooftops again where you're not wanting to land, having to deal damage when you fall. There are definitely issues with the parachute. I don't know how they managed to screw that up. Maybe it's just the old mechanic. I'm not sure, but parachutes are not good. So plenty of complaints about it. But
now, here's one thing that's controversial.
Okay.
And I want to get your take on this.
Controversial.
If you go to h1z1.com.
Okay. Yes.
Where do you go?
Okay. So now that the way I see this is King of the Kill is now out of beta. And King of the Kill is going to be, they're going to have King of the Kill on PlayStation, on Xbox, and they're going to be pushing people to h1z1.com, which now brings you to the King of the Kill splash page. The Just Survive page is still there. You can still get to it. It's on the Daybreak site, and it's also on the footer of the the King of the Kill site. So I just see this as this game is coming out of alpha, and having H1Z1.com going to the King of the Kill site, I think, makes the most sense. I mean,
but there's no longer a Just Survive section.
Yes, there is.
Where? Show
me. It's in the footer, and it's on the Daybreak website.
It takes you to the Steam page.
No, go to About the Game.
Okay, About the Game Just Survive.
That's the Just Survive site. It's still on, okay. It's listed on the
Daybreak. Well, it's a one page. All it is says buy now.
Yeah.
And then it takes you, like, it doesn't have any actual information about it. Like,
no, but that's the Just Survive site. Look at the URL. It's h1z1.com/just survive/home.
The Just Survive site is still there now. And that's it. So they don't have a feed for it.
They do. There's still a feed there.
That takes you to the King of the Kill feed.
No, it does not.
All right. Let's try this.
Go to the Daybreak. Here, do this. Go to the Daybreak website.
Okay, so I got it. So it took me, because when I clicked another link, it'd take me back to the King of the Kill.
So there is still a Just Survive.
So there, it's there.
But it's hidden now.
You have to go to the very bottom.
Yeah,
now.
So the way I see it is that the game is coming out of alpha, and they're trying to promote the game that is out of alpha, which, I mean, I guess makes sense.
Yeah.
They don't use the website anyway, so I don't really care. I mean, it's just the website is so stupid anyway. You know, they put some stuff on the website, some stuff on Reddit. Who cares? I mean, nobody goes to
it. I think they
have
it somewhat automated. It's like, it's pulling random things from Twitter, from Twitch, and from Twitter.
It is. It's totally automated. I don't know. I don't care.
I don't think they mess with it.
It's still on the Daybreak site. You go to the Daybreak site and you mouse over H1Z1, both of the websites show up.
But it used to be they have a thing that let you go switch back and forth. And then so that's pretty much gone away. And now it's just you have to dig to find Just Survive.
Yeah.
And they haven't really done anything on it, so I'm assuming at some point, who knows, it should be working.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. It's not really. I don't see it as controversy. I mean,
okay. So some people noticed that, and I saw some chat going back and forth. But that's something they did change.
Exactly. Which, I mean, I can understand, because the game's coming out of alpha, so I guess it kind of makes sense.
All right. We want to do this raffle.
Let's do our raffle.
All right, so let's go ahead and draw. And so we'll announce the winner in chat. It's Archie to Plaid.
Cool.
Congratulations, you have won. I will send you a message on Twitch, which will have the game code.
Yes. Now, I think I must be some type of psychic or something. Last week we talked about Hide and Hold Out. Now, there hasn't been an update in forever. And maybe it was the week before in Hide and Hold Out. And lo and behold, this week, September 2nd, released, we finally got a Hide and Hold Out update after, God, I want to make sure I have this right, June 30th to September 2nd. So we had 2 months without an update.
Yeah, of nothing.
So we're finally back. I'm going to read through the improvements really quick and then give my opinion on it. So these are the improvements on version. This is 0.01.77. It's now live. The wrecks of vehicles and ships are now salvageable using the collect tool, so you can salvage those. The console, this is the text console that pops up, has been improved and now prints the debug log. So if you're having issues with the game, it'll print that out in the console now. An invisibility checker has been added to help identify the quote invisible player bug. Checker 0.
This is something they've been battling lately.
Yeah, every game. Every game that's alpha like that, the invisible player is always the fun bug that everybody has to deal with. So
they put this in there so that if someone is invisible, you can run this and it will give them information to be able to track it down.
Exactly. The splash damages are now stopped by the environment, so you can hide yourself behind a wall to avoid taking damage of an explosion. I guess that wasn't happening before, so if you're behind something and an explosion went off, you'd still get the splash.
It was going through it.
Yeah, so that was an issue. Removing a barrel with the sledgehammer does not make it explode anymore. That's been fixed. Destroying a container. This includes the vehicles and ships having cargo, having a cargo hold, will drop about half of the items it contains. So not all of them, just half of them. So
yeah, it's so not half of it'll get destroyed.
Exactly. So this is if you're either raiding a base or if you act. But now this is pretty bad. If you accidentally destroy your own container, you're going to pretty much lose half of your items in that. So you got to be careful with that. An option has been added to select which monitor will display the game in full screen mode. That's cool. The turrets can now be removed from the turret supports by using the sledgehammer. So you can, I guess you can now hold the turrets or something because you can remove them from the supports.
I think you can just remove them. Like it makes it no longer there.
I see. But you can just destroy the supports. The turret goes away.
Yeah.
Pressing C now closes the clan menu. I don't know anything about the clan menu. Some resource spots have been brought back on land, so they move some of those resource spots back on land. The text of the metal-related icons have been modified. The motorized raft now has a proper icon. That's been fixed. The max count of characters in the chat has been increased. That's how many characters you can type. And then the M2 and the flamethrower turrets are now easier to handle. So maybe you can hold these. The vertical rotator softer, so you can, the rotator is now a little bit softer.
Well, maybe when you're controlling the turret.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm assuming moving it around because you can stand on a boat and shoot the flamethrower.
Gotcha.
And so I think they just smoothed out the controls for that. And then they had a huge list of fixes.
Yeah, a bunch of changes.
Depends if it's, we're talking about a Rust version of huge.
Yeah, exactly. but for this game, so. The other thing is here, so this is from the developer. Sorry for the long wait. I had a long time without internet after moving into a house. I don't know. I don't want to be critical, but I mean, come on, 2 months? We released a game. Yep. You did what? 10 updates, maybe? 15 mm-hmm. total updates and then gone for maybe 2 months? That's a real issue. And, you know, I get it, but again, we were talking about this last time. There's going to be quite a hurdle now for this game to overcome because 68% of the, less than 70% of the reviews are positive now. And so we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll have another update by next week. Because really there's been in total 21 updates on Steam for this game.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with this, but there will definitely be a hurdle for them to overcome. So that is how
they did say 0.78, which because this is 0.0 or 0.01, 0.77.
Yeah.
And they did make a note that the 1.78 is coming soon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. So, but hoping it's for next week, you know.
Yeah. So they are, they are doing things. So that's cool that they are actually making progress again. So yes. Hopefully this continues because, I mean, there's a lot of good promise in this game. They were doing a really good job.
Exactly. So that's, that's Hide and Hold Out. You can check it out on Steam. It is $18, and if you feel so inclined to do so, you can get that.
All right, so another game, I wanted to make a note of this.
Oh,
Miscreated,
I skipped this.
I'm sorry. Is on sale.
Oh, okay.
Right cool. Now, $9.99. So if you do not have Miscreated, it's 50% off right now. Excellent price. I mean, they don't put it on sale very often, so if you don't own Miscreated, this would be an excellent time to do it. And now, the server numbers are consistently going up. And so this would be a good thing to check out. And if you get it a four pack, so maybe you have a group of four people, you and three other people want to play this game, you can get it cheaper for a four pack. So it's less than $10 each.
Cool.
Now, they did patch number 39. So this came out yesterday. They updated the shader cache, which is a performance and make something look nicer. You can sprint while crouched to move faster. Characters can only jump 3 times in a row, and then they need to wait several seconds to jump again. I guess they get worn out. The jump time and regeneration will be adjusted as needed in future updates. It's a work in progress, they said. They fixed a server hang. AI thrown rocks have been added to the damage logs when they hit a player, because some of the zombies, the big zombies, can throw rocks at players that they can't reach anymore. That's something they added. They moved item spawners away from a ladder in the small control room because it says couldn't pick up items. Hayward residential area is now completely open, and this is a work in progress. So this is some of the new zone that's up north. New shop interiors for a city building in two versions still, says, in still work in progress. So they're making it because what they did, and I mentioned this last week, I think, they put a lot of buildings in there that they hadn't finished the interior on yet. And so they just closed the doors and you weren't able to enter them. And so as they finish up the interiors of those buildings, they then fixed, they left you open the doors and you're able to go in and loot them at that point. Opened some of the fences behind the residential houses in Pinecrest for ease of access. They increased the shotgun recoil. They fixed the tactical shotgun ammo having incorrect pellet spread. They fixed tactical shotgun blurry iron sights. Let's see, they lowered the tactical shotgun melee damage to match other shotgun. They added support for mutant packs and groups, so those mutants will pack together and go around, roaming around together. They updated the hints in the main menu. Police car was added, and it looks pretty nice. Sedan steering wheel now rotates when vehicle is turned. It's just a visual thing. They updated the particle effect on the torches. The Carlington will now spawn with correct ammo pile. They fixed the Renegade 700, so it spawns with ammo. And then they fixed the iron sights related issue of the crossbow, fixes for firing the last bolt. And then they added some different sounds. They fixed some models, the dumpster model that you could get stuck inside of it. So they fixed that. And then they replaced some of the Baphomet graffiti with Red Sans logo. I don't know. There's graffiti throughout. Maybe they had one they figured out they weren't supposed to have, or they didn't like what it meant. And then, so they went through and replaced.
It was copywritten.
It could have been. It's possible. So yeah, so that is Miscreated. It's $9.99 right now. I encourage you to go out and get it.
Yes. For an early access game, the cheapest you'll ever get is probably 50% off. I can't imagine it going much lower than that. So, you can get Miscreated. And like you said, we'll have the numbers coming up on current players, but there is still there's still a group of people playing that, and you know, I would assume enjoying it if they're continuing to play. So good stuff coming from them.
Now, Unturned put out a patch, and I mean, this isn't a huge patch, but this is 3.16.2.0. I always like to mention when they do this, but they added a number of things to the game. They did a number of fixes, but this is a game that is free to play. So if you're looking for something, maybe even for your kids, it is a pretty challenging game.
It's online, and I think there's voice chat.
Yeah, there is voice chat. Maybe for your older kids, yeah. Or if your kids they don't have a microphone and headset and they can't hear the game.
Yeah, as long as you mute the speakers, they can't. Oh, actually, I think there's text chat too.
Ugh. Okay, so if your kid's blind and he can't hear, this is an excellent game for him. So they have plaques, mannequins they've added to this game. Some things for that are information for the server screen. But yeah, there's just a number of fixes. They are working on this game. I always like to mention when they do, because if you're looking for just a game that'll run on almost any computer and it's free and it's got a lot of stuff to do, it is a very good game.
Yes.
Especially if you're cheap. The best price. I mean,
you can't beat the price. You can't beat free. I should say. Yeah. We also had a Rust dev blog. This is dev blog 125, and this patch wipes the servers. So you have a completely, this is 5 days old, but you had a completely fresh slate to build on. So if you didn't know about this, at least you can get it now. And people are only at most 5 days ahead of you. So the major things to point out in this are new lighting. A new map, which is in there now, which is cool.
Savas Island?
I don't even
Savas
know.
Savas Island?
Who
I
knows?
Savas Island, I think it's supposed to be.
They fixed and improved the Savas Island Koth. I don't know what is that. I don't know what that is. Is that what builds the map? Like the underlying texture or the underlying shape or something?
No, I think that's just the map name. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know why they would include that.
I don't know.
The gamma cranking is fairly fruitless now. I would assume that useless.
Yeah, because people were turning up their gamma a whole bunch. And it was making it so they could see things that they normally wouldn't. And now it doesn't make. Actually, here, let me give you a link.
Do you have an example?
I'm going to put it in chat. Here's a better one that will actually show you screenshots from one that I gave you is a no nonsense.
Can you throw that in the notes as well?
Yes, put it in there. I'll put an updated one in there in that way. But that actually shows screenshots of the difference.
Okay.
Actually, I'll replace our link with that one.
Okay, yeah, because I guess there's stuff we're missing here.
Okay, there we go. All right, yeah, because they actually show the difference
Yes, they do. Okay.
Cranked up gamma in the regular.
So anti-gamma. So this is the before and after. So you could crank the gamma all the way up.
Now if you look, like, you're not really seeing anything additional. Yeah,
exactly.
Now.
Which is an issue that a lot of games deal with. Because
we did that originally on Arc.
Yeah, we did on it. Yeah.
Get really dark and you could just change your gamma setting and it was like daytime.
Yeah, all the time. Exactly. Got some good memes.
So then they
got
have some screenshots of the new island as well.
Some pictures of the new island here. Weapon frame rate, something that they worked on. Dungeon art, which is cool. It's exactly what it sounds like. So working on some art inside of the dungeons. The bone armor. This is stuff that's been really interesting. People seem to have shown an interest in. This is now actually in the game now. So you can now get all these different types of bone armor. Everybody seems to like that, like deer skull with half the antlers ripped off or whatever, doe skulls, whatever those are. The vending machines, these are almost done. The texturing is almost finished, and then they realized that there were some issues with it, but that's almost done. So I would imagine this would be in here pretty soon because the last thing they're working on is the texture. Those are cool. Yeah. They tweaked the view model elbows. So before, that's what it was kind of where your elbow was bending. And you can see the before and after. Your arm was, you don't hold a gun like that. Your hand was kind of like jutted out, which doesn't seem, normal. So they fixed that. They worked on the MP5 model. This won't play. MP5 machine gun.
You can see a picture
model.
Of it They've below.
Got, yeah, they got some pictures down here. Well, a nice high quality model here. Looks nice. It looks good.
He has a preview. He has some music that they've been adding
some
to
music
it.
In here. I don't know if it's copyright or copyright free or not, so we're not going to play that. Again, the lighthouse. They're still working on versions of the lighthouse that was added last patch, so they're kind of working out.
Kind of like their point of interest.
Yeah, exactly. It's a POI for them. The spiral stair block experiment. I don't remember covering.
I think
this
they're trying to make it so that the spiral stairs, and this is something new, so that depending on the length that you're needing to cover, mm-hmm. it will just continue to grow.
Oh, okay.
So you see how where there's a shorter, height that it's needing to do, it only does so much on the spiral stairs. And if it needs to do a full height one, like one's half height, one's full height,
yeah,
it will just have the spiral stairs go up to that point.
Exactly, but it takes up the same space. So,
they're showing you like that it would normally be this size, and it's only doing half the spiral.
I see what you're saying.
You know, I'm saying like it's cutting it off at that.
Yeah, I can
point.
See it's kind of ghosted.
So you could have it continue going up and up and up and up, depending on what the height it was needing to go to.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
So that is, that's pretty much Rust. That's Devlog 125.
Yep.
Now, a game that I mentioned, I think a month ago, The Other 99, that I said looks pretty cool, they released August 25th. And if you look at the Steam ratings, they're mixed. It's got 40 reviews.
Every early access game seems to be mixed. Seriously.
And the main consensus that I'm getting from this is that it's just boring. They said it's got beautiful graphics, but then it's not enough to pull you in. And this is something that could change over time. This is early access. You don't always judge a book by the first five pages.
Well, no, but a lot of people do. And this is unfortunate with early access when you really, and again, this is part of the issue that I feel Hide and Hold Out is going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
And H1Z1 has the same identity problem. It's not just an ARC or an H1Z1 or any other game's problem. I have friends that I told, hey, guys, get H1Z1. It's going to be awesome. And
you told me that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sorry, Brian. Look what I roped you into 90 weeks later. We're still here. But there's a lot of people that played H1Z1 originally, friends personally that I know that, will refuse to even install the game now because it was just such a piece of junk then.
And they no longer talk to you anymore. Family reunions are uncomfortable.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, that's not the reason that but still, it's an issue because you play the game and a first impression is a big deal. It's no different than a job interview. You show up 25 minutes late, and you're wearing your pajamas and your hair's a mess. you get what you get. First impressions are a really big deal. And I just feel like every one of these early access games that's coming out is not at a point where it's ready to be out. I mean, the other one that we saw at E3. We have a few. Not a game that should not be in early access. It's not an early access game, and I think a lot of people saw it at E3, thought it looked cool, bought it, realized it's not, there's literally 10 minutes of gameplay, and are never gonna install the game again, because that's realistically what people do. They move on to other things. The reason that we're covering this stuff is because we talk about it every week, but most people, they have a really bad first impression. They don't try again. Somebody has to force them to.
Yeah.
So who knows? But again, it's just it makes you wonder what are these developers thinking?
Yeah, and that's the thing is if it's not ready,
don't release it.
You know, don't push it out. Like, get it to the point of where there's enough to do. I mean, that's where Ark did a good job. Rust does a good job. You know, regardless of what's in the game, like, there's stuff to do.
Yeah.
So. This one, hopefully we'll see if it comes around, but you know, with 40 reviews mixed, you know, 45% of those reviews are positive. So less than half.
Not good.
Have been positive. They're going to have to come back from that.
Yeah.
Now, you had messaged me earlier today saying that there was a tweet from, favorite CEOs.
Yeah. So this is in our, this isn't survival, but I think it's got its ties back to H1Z1, and we're going to continue following it because, it's our show and we can,
what we want.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so John Smedley, H1Z1 was his brainchild, and he, after he left the company, he started his own, company, Pixel Mage Games.
Because yeah, it looks like Pixel Image.
Pixel Mage Games, and he started a. If you remember, this was probably 3 or 4 months ago. Started a Kickstarter for a game that his company was working on called Heroes Song. They did a Kickstarter. That's important. They used the service Kickstarter, and the way Kickstarter works is if you reach your goal, you get the money. If you don't reach your goal, you don't get the money. They needed to raise some crazy amount of money. I think it was
$800,000.
Which, by the way, is crazy. They had all these perks that were just not in proportion to what you were getting. Almost all of it was digital content, which is a real hard sell. I'm not spending $200.
At least give somebody a shirt.
Exactly. You know, a book, an art book. That's a big thing, is like art books or stuff with Kickstarters. So, a little earlier today, there was a back and forth. If you're interested, tomorrow, if you're listening to this live, on Cole Carnage's stream at 10:30 a.m. Pacific, Smedley will be showing off 5 minutes of gameplay. A 5 minute gameplay.
Said Smedley
trailer.
Again. Smedley.
Smedley. Sorry, Smedley. The 5 minute gameplay show. We'll have that next week. We'll play that on the show for you. But there is Hero's Song is still being worked on. And now they're going to be starting an Indiegogo campaign for it. And the difference between Kickstarter and Indiegogo is Indiegogo, you get whatever was raised, you get. If you reach your goal, great. If you don't reach your goal, you still get the money. Unlike Kickstarter, which is if you don't reach it, you don't get anything. So he's really excited.
So they're just having a goal. We want to raise up this much, but we'll take whatever you give us. Exactly. So they are working on it. They're going to finish it.
They were going to finish it either way.
It's not a, if we get enough money, we'll do it. Like this at this point. He has created the company. They've got a majority of the work.
And they've got like 20 people working there. If you go on there, look at their staff. There's a lot of people working there, including two, recently exited Daybreak employees as well. So he's excited for this. And then the quick note here is that the lowest possible tier that will get you into the full game, this includes the late alpha. They're doing different tiers of alpha, like first alpha, second alpha, will be $15. And it's going to be a $20 game. So $15 will get you into the alpha and then get you the full game, which is kind of on point with, kind of how other Kickstarters and Indiegogos and early access games work. And then also says that here that they've decided to not do any tiers above $500, which is a pretty pricey tier. Again, they're going to have to make it physical things sell, art books, like a playing cards, like a few trade cards with characters on it, stuff like that people will throw into it, because before it was like soundtracks and just honestly just garbage for $500, way too much money for what you were getting. So expect that Indiegogo to come out soon, I guess. There's not a specific time.
Well, I am assuming they'll say tomorrow, because he just said soon.
Yeah, so we'll
see. Tomorrow during the stream, he'll actually say, hey, we're releasing. Maybe it'll be right then, or they'll say, hey, we're going to do it on the state. But
yeah,
they're not announcing anything other than that until tomorrow.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens with that, and we'll bring you the latest next week when we have more details. So that's Hero's song, which I'm interested. I wish him well, because
I personally, I think you need game developers that deliver.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that frustrated him about H1Z1. It's just, it wasn't getting delivered what he wanted.
Yeah.
And so this is his chance to prove himself, because he could permanently just destroy his reputation, as being a big guy in the industry, if the only thing that people remember is what he had at Daybreak.
Yeah.
I think with this, if he delivers on this game, and that was his biggest fear with that original Kickstarter, is, I don't want to do two in a row of, third strike, you're out type of a thing. I think for him, this is really important, because this is confirming, hey, I do know how to do this. It's not me.
Yeah, it's not me.
Not that that's the reason to do it, but that's got to be in his mind.
Yeah. All right. So we wish him luck.
Now, Humble Bundle, I wanted to, they haven't contacted us back about being a affiliate yet.
Darn.
Which, come on. But I talk about it every single time. So this last one, which I told people to get in Discord, I kept saying, hey, there's 3 hours left. You need to get Soma. But they did release this most previous one a couple days ago, and the most recent one. And this is good. So they did Soma, which we knew was coming up.
Yep.
They have the Banner Saga, which is kind of a turn-based, very artistic game. Has an excellent soundtrack, based on Norse mythology.
My kind of game.
Yeah. You're exactly your kind of game. But I played this on my tablet.
Oh, you've already played this.
Yeah, I played it. It is a good game. I'm not sure if the PC version maybe has more voice acting or something. I would hope so. There's a lot of reading. I've gotten lazy in my days, and I enjoy not reading. I enjoy all voice acting. I've gotten spoiled. I'm not sure what the differences are.
Nobody wants to read.
Yeah. Well, it used to be the old days, like you read everything, and now I'd rather have everything spoken to me. And so now, with this, this is the PC version, and I haven't played the PC version. Now, this next one you were excited about.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
So this is pretty much WWE 2016.
What a weird game to have in the Humble Bundle. Like, I just... Who knows? We're giving this away. I'm absolutely not installing this. No way. So, yeah,
that's one of the only ones I didn't install. But
yeah, I mean, it's got a set. I mean, come on. How exciting is a UFC or is either a UFC or a WWE game? I mean, who knows?
It says it has all the DLCs included. So, I mean,
it's only got a 74 on Metacritic. So it's definitely nothing great. So W2K16. But again, that is a AAA title. I mean, that's a 2K sports game, which are crazy popular. I don't know how popular the WWE one is, but that's a real deal game developer.
Now this next one, Sheltered, is a survival post-apocalyptic pixel style graphics RPG game. And it has overall very positive. It's got mixed recent. Maybe this is people that got it in the Humble Bundle that, maybe this isn't their cup of tea. If you get something in a Humble Bundle and it's not your style of game, don't go review it.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, please.
I mean, that's just my opinion. You're like, oh, it's survival. I hate it. You didn't buy the game individually. Don't review it bad because it's a survival game and you don't like survival
games.
You got
six games for $12. I mean,
yeah, that is not the point of the reviewing system. If it's broken, if things don't work, like
that's like when somebody on you go on Amazon, you look at 1-star reviews, and somebody's like, oh, the game broken. Like, that doesn't mean the product is bad. That just means you got a bad, either it was destroyed in shipping or you just got a lemon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So is a, I mean, that game,
I really hate that, by the way, that it's a ridiculous, like,
yeah, I see that. I read the Amazon reviews and I just ignore all the ones that say, oh, there was a dent in the box.
Yeah.
You don't review the person bad because there was a dent in the box from UPS.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so this is a survival game. I haven't installed it and tried it yet, but it looks like it's got like underground, like a bomb shelter type of thing. Kind of that, you know, pixely, that cool.
I'll install
retro
this
pixels,
thing,
what they do.
Kind of like what you're looking like. Kind of like this episode of Infection.
Yeah, like what I look like. I mean, it does look so bad.
No, you look good
like
now.
Right now.
You look good.
It's getting a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
And then they did Epistory, which I've never heard of before. It says it's Typing Chronicles. And I guess you have to type your commands.
Ah, jeez.
I was watching the description of it, and it just...
You thought you didn't like reading.
Okay, so I mean, it gets you better at typing. I don't know, maybe for kids, like, you see something that
Wait,
says...
Wait, is this like a typing simulator? Is this what this is?
So you type, and, like, you have things coming at you that you need to kill, so you have to type that word.
Ah, jeez.
And, like, you go through it. So it's kind of like a typing tutor. Right.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. This isn't a game.
Well, it's made a game out of getting better at typing.
If you're subscribed, let me make this clear. If you're subscribed to the Humble Bundle Monthly, probably means
you should know how to type.
No, well, no, it's not even that. It means you're probably more on the adult scale. Like if you're like 8 years old, you probably don't have a $12
monthly. You probably don't have a debit card that's.
Exactly.
Monthly payments. Yeah,
I mean,
out.
I definitely didn't. The only monthly payment I ever had when I was that young was Xbox Live, and I did the yearly thing. Like that was it. I sure as hell didn't have like a loot crate or any of these other like you know meal boxes or anything. I just can't imagine anybody not that has Humble Bundle Monthly would need to play this game. I will install this though. I will play this week. Just to see,
it could be a ton of fun. Like,
did you install it?
Yes.
Okay, then
I haven't played it yet, but I've installed it.
All right.
Now,
maybe you should play
game,
it, and then maybe we can give it away if it's really good. So maybe you should play it this week, then, or I can.
Okay, so I'll
it
play it, and then I'll just tell you if it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and maybe we'll give it away. Maybe we won't.
So another game that's similar to this, but it's branded as a typing game, but there's like a zombie survival typing game. It's actually pretty ridiculous, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay. I'm
trying to remember what it's called. But it's one where, like, it gets you to be – because you've got zombies and guys with guns coming at you and all this stuff, and you have to type these phrases really quick to be able to defend yourself. And it's got adult language in it. Like, it's not made for kids.
Yeah, but as long as – is it called, like, Zombie Survival, like, Typer Man? Because this is literally called Typing Chronicles.
Typing of the Living Dead.
Oh, wow, it is. It's totally called that. Okay.
It's something like that. Actually, I can look
at it. Yeah, no. Typing of the Jason.
I don't have my Steam
Jason
open right
says
now.
It's called Typing of the Dead. You're getting some multiple people. Typing of the Dead. But again, that seems like that would be cool. This doesn't seem cool.
And they have, like, that's getting you to be, you know, like, oh, I'm at 80 words per minute. I want to get higher type of a thing to where you're typing in Shakespeare and you can choose the difficulty of the text.
Okay.
Just to make you become a better typer. This one, like, from the screenshots, everything is very spread out. Like, you're typing race, dry, you know, things like that.
Like, stuff that you're taught in elementary school.
Yeah, it says, and she might have been lost entirely. You type that, not... like you're writing half of a work of Shakespeare out as fast as you can so you don't die.
Why has this got a very positive review on Steam? I got to look this game up. I'm very interested now. Why
it's an indie adventure action typing exploration game.
And they might as well have thrown like a reading into it just to really turn everybody off from it. This is a $15 game.
So, I mean, there's
game.
People that are rating it very high. It says, I usually don't really leave reviews, but this game simply deserves it.
It's got very everything. 96% of the overall reviews are very positive.
Yeah.
Joe owns this game.
Typing until my hands were sore, 11 out of 10.
Okay, so that's a fake review.
I didn't realize this was a real genre.
A
real game.
No, 90 out of 100
on The Escapist.
No, I don't even know what The Escapist is, but...
He gives reviews. Oh. You'd hear him. If you heard his voice, you would know
which
one he is.
It's interesting because people saying, you know, everything I wanted in a typing RPG, I didn't realize that was like a real genre that people were interested in.
I guess.
Huh.
I mean, the graphics look, you know, pretty decent. It's a nice looking game.
It's interesting. I'm scrolling through it. Nobody has more than 10 hours played on the game.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a very...
Lindell's been out for...
Well, no, but I'm just saying in general, like, it seems like this is a game you maybe play for a few hours and then kind of never play again.
Yeah, it could be.
That's what it looks like.
Now, this next one is a game that you actually pointed me to on an online version of this. I think we were playing it together over Hangouts one day, but Town of Salem.
Are you sure?
Yeah. This is like the one where we were in a Hangout.
I think you're thinking of somebody else.
No, I thought it was you. But no. We were playing this, and it's like, I swear you're doing this where you have to figure out who the person is, like who the bad guy is, who's the one who's killing people.
No,
you've never heard of this.
No, this was not me.
Well, and then I don't know who it was.
Are you cheating on me with a? Are you doing another podcast with somebody else?
Oh, that was the other podcast guy. That's right. So
no, I've never heard of this.
I don't know if you want to play. Can you play the video from that? It's 30 seconds.
Where's the video?
It's on Steam.
Oh.
Is it difficult for you to get there?
I don't have Steam. Hold on. I can. Hold on. Oh, geez.
Okay, here. Let me link it to you in the show.
I got it. Town of Salem.
Salem. And there's just a little 30-second video.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it. Hold on. I got to queue this up.
Okay.
Town of Salem. Here we go.
Turns deadly at night. Find and lynch the murderers before you die. And avoid the gallows. Can you survive the Town of Salem?
It's kind of like
that party game.
This is like the board game, the wolf game.
There's one they call Mafia that they do like this, where, you know, you got to find out who the hitman is.
Yeah.
So this goes through, like, there's someone who's killing people, and so you have to talk in the game with people, kind of like what we do in what's that one game that we play in Gary's Mod?
Triple T.
Yeah, kind of like Triple T, to where, you know, you're talking and saying, you know, where were you? You're trying to figure out who did it.
There is a I can't even remember the name. There's a card game that's like this. It's called Wolf Something. And there's the wolf and then everybody else in the town, and then I don't know, maybe that's what you're thinking. I've never played this online. I've played there's a card game that's
similar. Yeah, now this one you go through and you each have your own little house and you have to kind of use the hints to figure out who it
is.
It's
like Clue.
It's a fun little game to play with a group of people.
Okay. Well, maybe we could try. Well, I don't know how many people got the Humble Bundle, but maybe we could try this.
Yeah. Well, by now everyone should have it.
Nobody has it. That's the problem. Nobody buys it.
And then Soma, okay, which way better than I thought it was going to
be.
So
you played it?
I played a decent amount of it.
All right. So you're happy with it?
Yeah, I'm very happy. I got 9 out of 10 on Destructoid. Overwhelmingly positive on Steam. It's 84 out of 100 on Metacritic. Excellent, excellent game. And I don't want to give it all away. But it's definitely worth, like, that's what I was saying. I played it before it was released. I kept telling people, you need to play this if you're interested in this type of game. It is a lot of fun, and it's got some great twists in it, great graphics, excellent game. I mean, overwhelmingly positive, over 6,000 reviews. So it's a 95% positive rating.
That's crazy.
Really fun game. And then they did, for their Humble Bundle exclusive sneak peek demo.
Yeah.
So this is a game that they pretty much gave episode one away in this. You play a robot, and so you're pretty much, it's a post-apocalypse world of you just being a robot. Like, what would you do? And so, like, you find things and you fix them, and It's kind of a story going through it, but this is chapter one. I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, but I watched the video and it looks pretty interesting. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's hard. It's really hard to explain, but it's just you figuring out what you're, you know, what would you do as a robot? And you play it. Just, I'm a robot and I play kind of with an artificial intelligence. So it's kind of like, how far do you push that?
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, if you look at it, the graphics are really well done.
It's a Unity game, so not surprising that it looks well or looks good.
Yep. Yeah, and this is something that's just episode one.
Already,
last quiet
you're
day.
A robot and it's raiming. I mean, come on, this is not this is not immersion.
You rust to a stop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the old Yellow Brick Road. Times have gotten tough.
Yeah, I'm not feeling the immersion with this game right off the bat. Plus, they did 30 seconds of Unity and NVIDIA and something.
Yeah,
else
it's like when most of your preview thing is just showing the engine and whatever.
All right.
And then they had another one, which is a Humble Bundle original spool side. But
I like these. I've yet to find one that's like actually like interesting.
It's all concept. Like if you look at it, it's all like sketch. Like they put down the stuff behind it's there, but they didn't put all the art in.
I'm really waiting for one of these Humble originals to be a kind of a gem. Most of these tend to be kind of, not, I don't want to say flops. I'm not trying to be mean here, but no, they're just kind
of
like,
they're just kind of testing out game concepts.
Exactly. So it's, I'm one of these, Brian, I'm telling you, one of these Humble originals is going to be like the next big game. It's going to be like the next arc or something like that. And
they're getting it into people's hands, and one will take off and people are like,
exactly.
Man, you need to finish this. And I think that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah.
Like we'll keep tossing out ideas. When we get one that people are like, man, this is awesome game. You need to continue this. Then they'll finish production on it.
Exactly. So,
next month, the game is going to be Grim Dawn. And this is an action RPG, hack and slash loot indie.
This has nothing to do with Grim Fandango, correct?
No.
Totally separate? Okay.
Yeah, different game. This one will be out for the next Humble Bundle. This is the main game. This one is very positive on the ratings. It came out February 25th, so it came out this year.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's not a good sign.
It's not a huge game, but I'm assuming that with this one, you're probably more likely to have the rest of the games better.
That is not a good sign when the game has been out for less than a year and it's already a Humble Bundle game.
Yeah, but it's got very positive, over 10,000 reviews, and it's very positive. So
again, not judging, but just something interesting to...
Yeah, 93% positive on the ratings.
Interesting.
So yeah, we'll have to see. All I've seen are the videos of it so far, and I mean, there's a lot to the game, but it's not generally the type of game I would play.
No, neither. But so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what else comes with it. Maybe we'll give it away. Who knows?
Yep. All right. So, do we want to go ahead and go over? Let's do the next game giveaway.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So for this one, this is going to be Murdered Soul Suspect. It is. I'll put a link to it in chat. This is like a $30 title. And it's got very positive reviews. Just came out. It came out 2 years ago. So this game has been out for a little while. This is a pretty fun game. It's kind of a detective adventure, horror, action, mystery game.
Cool. So, these people really need to learn how to make trailers. There's literally a 10-second AMD intro in front of the game trailer. It's like watching a pre-roll ad. So.
Yeah, if you're going to do a 30-second one, don't do a 10-second AMD one.
It's ridiculous. All right. So
yeah, just type !! Raffle in chat, and this will be get entered. It's by a big game.
Square Enix game. So. Jeez. Okay.
The graphics are good, and it's got kind of a story that you follow.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, so we will...
I need to enter for this one. Square Enix is a great game developer.
Yep. So Murdered Soul Suspect. So go ahead and enter for that. And we'll give it away here as soon as we're done with the tip of the week.
Yes. So, and then, of course, our support. You can do that on our website's infectionpodcast.com/support. You can check out with our Amazon affiliate link where we get a small kickback, or do a direct PayPal deposit or donation. And then you can also set up a monthly thing as well. There's a little checkbox for that. It's infectionpodcast.com/support. Brian will throw a link in chat for that. And we're going to run right into everybody's favorite segment of the show, and that is current players. Currently playing H1Z1. This is Just Survive and King of the Kill combined. Only playing it right now, 9,862. This is the first time that this number has dipped below 10K in a very, very long time. But again, school is back in session, so that may be part of it. The 24-hour peak for this, 12,657, and the 70 peak, 17,837. How about Just Survive Standalone? Currently playing that, 2,087. Very, very low on that. The 24-hour peak for that, 2,562, and the 70 peak, 3,433. King of the Kill numbers, not too shabby. Currently playing that, 7,775. The 24-hour peak for that, 10,095, and the 7-day, 14,404. Arcs numbers are back up. Currently playing that, 37,010. My numbers must be mixed up here. The 24-hour peak for that is 47,014, and the 24-hour peak, 70 peak, 53,119. Currently playing Rust. These numbers are very good for Rust. Currently playing that, 22,178. The 24-hour peak, 38,093. And the 70 peak, almost 51,000. 50,995. And Miscreated still has a solid player base, over 1,000 in all columns here. Currently playing that, 1,262. The 24-hour peak for that, 1,555. And the 70 peak, 1,556. So, pretty strong numbers there with Miscreated. And most of our games, surprisingly, that Miscreated's numbers are so high, even though we are back in full swing of the school season here. So colleges are back in session as well as high schools and stuff. So,
yeah, if you look back at like the past month of it, ever since September 1st, it's been constantly growing. So it went pretty much from 787 then to 1,556 now.
Yeah.
So it's just a straight upward tick from that point. Before that, it was kind of up and down.
If you look at 3 months, I mean, there was some it really peaked mid-July where they did that big update. In July? Big update was in July. And then, patch 36. And then from then, it peaked, went down. But then it's been
growing up the whole time. I mean, Sunday, it's building up kind of that player base.
Yeah, every Sunday, there was a higher peak than the last for the most part. So that's pretty good.
And there was one dip. But yeah.
Other than that, pretty good. So,
yep. So it's good because the game is really well done. So
yes,
hopefully they'll keep growing and keep putting out updates.
Yeah, cool stuff there from Miscreated.
All right, so for the tip of the week, that's where I usually will give a gaming tip, sometimes a survival gaming tip, but this is something that will help you in your game, hopefully will improve your experience, and this is Tip of the Week. All right, speaking of Miscreated, I figure I'd give a Miscreated tip. So this is Miscreated Base Building. The developers of Miscreated have put together a pretty nice guide, and I'll have a PDF link to that in the show notes, for doing base building in the game. One thing that is different about this game is you can learn additional structures by finding recipes throughout the map. So these are random loot items that you can find, and they will enhance what you're able to build. So there's three different types of instructions that you'll find. One is basic, advanced, and specialized. So those each have their own unique color. So depending on the little piece of paper that you find, they'll have a different tint of color on each of them. And that's just showing you what category of item you picked up. The first, to start a base in this game, you have to actually claim a piece of land. So to secure a plot of land, you have this little fence post that you go put out with a sign on it. And you have to be about 200 meters away from someone else's base. You have to find a nice clear open space, and then it will turn green and you're able to place that marker, and then you're able to build inside of that area. So I do have a map in here. I figured I would throw in an updated map that they did, and so we'll have a link to that and a link to the PDF, which goes through and is pretty in depth for the whole base building system, and then just a JPEG that has the map with the new Hayward Valley that they have in there. So you can keep a copy of that, and it'll give you an idea of, they have about half of the map so far that they're actually using. There's radiation zone in this. Hayward Valley is the big city up top. And so they've already got the map itself made, like the actual land, but they don't have things placed throughout that section. So as they continue and build this map, they will be growing. And it will be a pretty decent size. It's called Orca Island is the whole thing. But it will be a pretty decent sized game. So this is Miscreated and this tip of the week.
Alrighty. Thank you for that, Brian. We gotta do Miscreated again because I think a lot of people own it. And
now we can actually all play together without it lagging everybody out. So we could do that as a game night if you wanted to, or just
Actually, we got to sit down this week and plan out the next. I think this was our last.
So we have like two more after this. I think
we'll sit down and plan out some games.
Okay. Yep. And then once again, as a reminder, Team Fortress 2, so TF2 is what we're going to be playing this Friday. Are we starting about 9 Eastern?
And I think we did 9:30, but anytime between 9 and 9:30.
I mean, we started going in there about 9, but you guys weren't there, so I just started it a little bit earlier. But yeah, we'll be 9:30. But if you're interested in doing that, jump into Discord, start getting everything ready, make sure that everything loads correctly, and we'll probably start playing a little bit early.
Yeah, Team Fortress 2 is a... Make sure you run it beforehand and optimize everything, and we'll find a server and figure all that stuff out. Play some different game modes. It'll be a fun night. Team Fortress.
Maybe we'll win
game.
A hat or something.
You don't win hat. I mean, you have to unlock a crate.
Maybe you'll unlock a hat. Okay, I've got like a bow and I have all this stuff, and I don't even know.
Yeah, actually, I gotta go back and go through my loadout and customize. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time. So. Team Fortress 2, Friday night, 9:30 Eastern, our Discord. You can find the link, infectionpodcast.com.
All right, so I'm going, let's roll for this next one. So this is Bloodcore 91.
Rigged.
He's here almost every single week.
It's a rigged.
It's rigged. I know rigged. People that show up, it seems like they win. I just don't get it.
It's an inside job, yeah.
So I'll go ahead and send you a link to this. Congratulations, Bloodcore. And next week... If you're, we'll figure out what game. I don't know what game we're doing next for the Friday night game, but I'll put it in the Steam events
2 weeks from now.
So, yeah, the next one coming up
2 weeks
by
from
Friday.
Now,
I'll put the next one in there because I don't remember what the
2 weeks from now. It looks like it's going to be Guild Wars 2, September 16th.
Are you still planning on that? You're going to play with your mouse finally in Guild Wars?
We stop. We can change. Who knows? We'll see.
We'll see if people are interested. I mean, we were really into it. I think when you made the list.
Yeah, maybe not.
But you haven't played it since, so
I still have it installed, and I'll play it. I'll play it alone. Okay. It's fine. Actually, I may have to work. Who knows? So yeah, we'll update you. We'll get the list all sorted out, and we'll update.
Yeah, we'll go over it, and if we need to change it, we will.
And of course, if for your opportunity to win live, you have to be here live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. And we're here every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time for the foreseeable future. That's what we'll be doing here. So other than that, Brian, anything on your end?
Nope. You can find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or if you'd like to go to my blog, biteoftech.com. Of course, if you're not on our Discord, we've got a lot of people in there. I encourage you to go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. On the right-hand side is kind of a graphic that shows who's in Discord right now, but you can click a link there. It'll get you an invite. It'll put you in there so you can see the chat that's going on throughout the week. If you want to play a game with some other people, you can jump into a channel. It's very well done. It's got a nice mobile app. So get to be in our Discord. Also, our Steam group, if you'd like to get notifications of when we're going live, when we're starting the game of the week, what the game of the week is going to be, come join our Steam group, and it'll give you those notifications as we do them.
Yes, of course. All those links are on our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Thank you, Brian. We appreciate you being here. On it was weird. You were good. You looked good. And then now it's all back down.
It goes back and forth. I have no idea.
I don't know what's going on. So we'll see you here next week. Of course, there's links to all of our... we've got this really cool page that Brian's got set up here on the website. It's infectionpodcast.com/subscribe. And it's got links to... It's subscribed to the podcast... On all these different platforms we're on. You can even get an email every time there's a new episode. We're on the Google Play Store. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn, iTunes, of course. And there's just a bunch of different places to do it. And there, all the Android podcast apps were on there as well. So cool, cool stuff there. And again, still, I'll bring it up one more time. If you're having an issue finding us in a podcast app or on a podcast website, let us know, and we'll be able to contact them and get that dealt with. So that is going to do it for this week's episode of Infection. Of course, you can check out another show I work on. It's called Against the Norm. We had the week off for Labor Day, but we'll be back next Saturday. It's the epicenter of news and politics at atnshow.com. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week for Infection. Have a great week, everyone.